He said, I wish that you were as myself, except in these bonds. I think I understand. We've been in some bond programs here at our church, and I think I know what he meant. What he meant, we sold bonds to our big loan was a bond selling thing around the country. I don't think that's what Paul meant, but he said, I wish that you were as I, except I wish you weren't in jail. And this morning, I'm going to say, there's one thing about me that I wish you had. No, it's not my big bushy flocks of hair, that isn't it. Though I'm sure that thousands and hundreds of you are jealous of me this morning as you see the part in my hair. My hair is parted and departed. But I'm not talking about my bulging biceps or my broad shoulders, though I'm sure that they're both the envy of all the men and the admiration of all the ladies here in this audience this morning. I'm not talking about my senility, which caused me to make dumb statements like I've been making. But I'm talking about one thing I wish you had. I wish that there's one thing that I have I wish you had. And I'm going to speak this morning from that little line in Joshua 7:7, which says, would to God we had been content. Now, that's what most of you are going to say when you get older and time comes to die. You're going to say, would to God we had been content. But I'm going to say, thank God I was content. I want to talk this morning, and I want you to listen carefully to the lesson of lessons for the child of God and the thing this old country needs more than most anything else. Hey, holiday comes, all the folks in the city want to go to the country, and all the folks in the country want to go to the city. All the folks down south want to come up north, and all the folks up north want to go down south. And every little child wants to grow up and be an adult someday, and every adult wishes he's a little child again. And in the morning we say, would God, every evening. And in the wintertime we say, I wish it were sunny and hot. And in the summertime we say, I'm so tired of this humid weather, I wish it turned cool. And we just live like that. The grass on the other side of the fence is always the greenest. But you're looking at a fella who never saw green grass on the other side of the fence. I like this asphalt on my side. And I'm not going to live that way. If you want to, go ahead. If you want to wish you had something you don't have all your life when you get it, wish you had something else, go ahead. But not me. And I want everybody to look at me now for about a few minutes, and I want to talk to you on the subject, would God we had been content. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Somebody said that he had never been in the state of Arkansas, or he wouldn't have said that. But I have learned to be content. Again, he said in 1 Timothy 6:6, he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And in verse 8 of 1 Timothy 6, he says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And again, he said in Hebrews 13:5, and be content with such things as you have. But I want to pick out for that little line from Joshua 7:7, would to God we had been content. And now, Holy Spirit, give us, I pray, that you have for us in this hour. My, what a wonderful thing it is to live in America today, a land where we can come to church and don't have to register if we take a trip somewhere. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this hour. And help us, dear Lord, to realize the goodness of God and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In Jesus' name, amen. Of all the possessions that man can have apart from salvation itself, I suspect that the most or the greatest is probably contentment. I want you to listen carefully as I tell you some things about contentment. Contentment can purchase all your wants. Did you hear what I said? Contentment can purchase all your wants. You say, I'd like to have enough money to buy anything I want. Contentment will buy you anything that you want. Contentment inventories the wealth of poverty. Contentment makes friends with circumstances. Contentment makes peace with obscurity. Contentment is the exterminator of covetousness. Contentment reconciles your bank balance with your heart's desire. Did you hear that? Contentment reconciles your bank balance with your heart's desire. Contentment makes a Volkswagen and a Cadillac look alike. Contentment is the assassinator of envy and the annihilator of greed. Contentment is the creator of industrial pride. Contentment is as happy at home as it is anywhere else. Contentment blinds one to poverty. Ah, this thing of being content, satisfied what you have. Everybody here ought to say this morning, I'd rather live where I live than live anywhere anybody in the whole world lives. I'd rather drive my car or push it, whichever you do. It depends on whether you own a Chevrolet or a Ford. But I'd rather drive my car than drive anybody's car in the whole wide world. And I'd rather live in my town than anybody's town in the whole wide world. And I'd rather have my furniture than any other furniture in the whole wide world. And I'd rather have the food in my cupboard than the food in anybody's cupboard in the whole wide world. Look, if you're one of these always wanting the next thing, you're the loser. You're the loser. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to say. I love my lot in life. I thank God for what He's done for me, and I am content. You know, contentment makes a mattress of straw. Offer as sound a sleep as a couch of ivory and eagle's down. Did you know contentment makes a dinner of herbs just as palatable as the table covered with pheasant and partridge? Did you know that the contentment made grandma and grandpa have a good time long time before the first person ever stared back to them from a screen? Did you know that grandma and grandpa had a good time because they were content a long time before anybody ever cared about the price of gasoline? Oh, they were concerned about feeding the horses that pulled the wagon. And when back, they had a good time when their honeymoon was a tour to the next farmhouse. And their anniversary was celebrated with an extra walk around the pasture. And their vacation was a wagon trip to church on Sunday morning and eating a dinner on the grounds and a wagon trip home after the service on Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, did you ever stop and think that the first unhappy person in the entire world was named Cain and his name was Acquisition? That was his name. He was unhappy. Why? He always wanted to acquire something. I don't like this. I wish I had this. And so-and-so has this. Oh, fool. I wouldn't trade places today with anybody in this world. You haven't got anything I want. I like mine better than I like yours. Did you ever say? I used to say, my daddy's stronger than your daddy. Dave used to say that. Got me in more trouble than anything in the world. One day I overheard him say to a boy across the street, my daddy's stronger than your daddy. And the boy said, no, my daddy's stronger. And this little boy said, my daddy played baseball on a certain team. And David said, my daddy played baseball for the New York Yankees. I never even saw the New York Yankees. But the little boy said, my daddy can lick your daddy. And David said, my daddy can lick your daddy. Can't you, daddy? Oh, that's an awful position to be in. Everybody wants something they haven't got. Oh, listen, it'd be a wonderful, wonderful day whenever you get the place in your life where you say, what I have is what God wants me to have, and God has provided certain circumstances for me, and God has provided certain provender for me, and God has provided certain housing for me, and God has provided certain transportation for me, and I like what I have, I like what God has given me, and I have learned to be content. Ladies and gentlemen, I contend that more happy hearts beat neath cotton than beat neath silk. I contend that more happy memories rest beneath simple headstones than beneath marble crypts in the finest of mausoleums. I contend that more laughter echoes from the house of the tenant than echoes from the house of the landlord. I contend that the other side of the tracks has the most happy people than the good side of the tracks. I contend the happiest folks in the world are those to whom God delivers their groceries daily instead of monthly. That crowd of people who say, I'm happy, and God is my God, and Christ is my Savior, and the Bible is my book, and heaven is my destination, and the rapture is my blessed hope, and I am a child of God, and whatever God's provision for me are, that's exactly what I want. A contentment frets not because it cannot afford expensive paintings. Contentment realizes that the original can be seen from his backyard. Contentment is not concerned because it cannot afford a trip to the concert. Contentment looks to the trees for a choir that's always on perfect pitch. Contentment says, what is the sunset on a wall compared to the sunset hung on hooks of fire in God's beautiful heavens? Contentment says, why have the copy when I can have the original? Contentment passes by a desire to see a Rembrandt or a Rubin or a Raphael or Michelangelo. He doesn't worry about that because he has free access to the royal gallery of the noonday heavens and that of the midnight sky. Let me tell you something, folks. If you can't afford to go to the art gallery, go out and look at the meadow this afternoon. That's the original. Oh, how good God's been to save my life. I cannot comprehend anybody who lives in America complaining. I can't comprehend that. I can't anybody saying, I wish I had this. I wish I... Oh, if you had it, you'd want something else. You covet your soul, you. You'd not be content. Always grasping after this, and you get it. Now I want that, and you get it. Now I want that, and you get it. Now I want that, and you get it. But if you ever come to the place in your life to where you say, how good God's been to me. Oh, praise God for His goodness. Then you will have had the acquisition of the most wonderful thing you can have in this world, apart from your own salvation. Contentment would rather have a window than a painting. Contentment would rather have a porch than a gallery. Contentment would rather have a sunset than a mural. Contentment says, will he who holds the water in the hollow of his hands permit his own child to die of thirst? Contentment says, will he who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he who owns the grain and the fruit of the earth allow one of his children to starve? Contentment says, if the birds arise... By the morning I got up early. And I heard the birds singing about 5 o'clock in the morning out beside a river down in West Virginia. And, they're having the time of their lives. And I got to thinking, not a one of those birds knows what he's going to have for breakfast. Not a one of them. Think about that. And they were singing and singing and singing, and I got thinking. Now I wonder if they knew what I know. Not a bird in the tree knows what he's going to have for breakfast, and yet he's singing. You don't have to know what you're going to have for breakfast as long as you got Matthew 6:33 in the Bible. You don't have to know. Oh, and down on earth we fret and stew. How are we going to make it? All we got in the refrigerator, in the cupboard, is 4 boxes of cereal and some peanut butter and some Cheez-Its and bugles and trumpets and saxophones and pianos and all we got is some rye bread and some cheese in the refrigerator. All we got is a half a gallon of milk. What we're going to do? Oh, bless God. I'll tell you what you're going to do. If you had faith in God enough to look up to God and say, hallelujah, I'm saved. My name is written in glory. I'm on my way to heaven. The Bible's my book, and heaven's my home, and God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior, and I have the promise of God that I will not go without the necessities of life if I live in His will and bathe myself in His will. Oh, you've got a wonderful lesson to learn when you learn to be content. Contentment says, I'd rather have my house than anybody else's house in the whole wide world. Contentment says, I'd rather have my car than anybody's car in the whole wide world. Contentment says, I'd rather have my clothes than anybody's clothes in the whole wide world. Contentment says, I'd rather have my color than anybody's color in the whole wide world. Contentment says, I'm white, and I wouldn't be black for anything in the whole wide world. But contentment says, I'm black, and I wouldn't be white for anything in the whole wide world. Somebody said this morning they gave me a little chocolate piece of cookie or cake or something. And they said, you're going to get chocolate on your hands? I said, I get that every time I shake Stan's hand. No problem about that. And but contentment says, I'm black as midnight, but black is beautiful. Contentment says, I'm as white as noonday, but white is beautiful. Contentment says, I live in an apartment and thank God for it. Contentment says, my God knows my need. My God knows what's best for me. My God knows what I ought to have. And I take it and thank God for it, and I wouldn't have it trade place with anybody else in the whole wide world. Contentment says that I'd rather be my size than anybody's size in the whole wide world. Now to me, the perfect size is 178 pounds. That's the perfect size, and I hope to get there someday. But to me, perfect size is 5'11 3/4, or on your tiptoes, 6 feet. And that's that's perfect to me. I wouldn't be an old, long, lanky, 6'4", or like Patterson. I'd cut myself, have two legs short and something cut off. I wouldn't. Why? Because I'm 5'11¾", and God wanted me to be 5'11¾". And I weigh 178 pounds, and God wanted me to weigh 160 pounds. And I'm going to make it one of these days when I get an arm cut off. But contentment says, I'm glad I'm who I am. Listen, look at me, folks. I'm the one and only Jack Hiles. Nobody liked me. Nobody ever has been like me. Nobody ever will be like me. And I wouldn't be like anybody else in the whole wide world. Why? Because God had something particular in mind when God made me. And I love being Jack Hiles. I love it. I wouldn't be Bob O'Clair for anything in the whole world. I tell you what, I'd rather be dead than be Bob O'Clair. I wouldn't be Glenn Lively in the whole world, always wanting more silver, never satisfied. And I wouldn't be Ray Bordway, long, lanky guy, looks like he's been stretched in a stretcher and pressed out on an ironing board. I'm not me. I'm glad I'm Jack Hiles. And you ought to go home today and look at that little place where you live and say, I'd rather live here than Buckingham Palace, because this is where God has put me to live today. And I look at that little garment you've got on. It may be a hand-me-down. It may be from goodwill or badwill, whatever it is. But you look at it and say, this is the dress or the suit that God has given me to wear today. I love him for it. Look at your little old car, and it's not a Ford. Thank God for it. And say, oh, if I could just get this in your soul, if I could grab you and shake you this morning and say that place in life, if you're in the will of God this morning, that place in life that God has placed you is the best place that you can be. Contentment seldom strolls down Wall Street. Contentment is a stranger in Hollywood. Contentment seldom sits on a throne. Contentment rarely dwells with fame. Contentment hardly ever walks with fortune. Contentment looks through an opera glass. Seldom looks through the opera glass of the gilded box of a theater. Contentment is just as happy in a laundromat as it is with a new Maytag in the basement. Contentment is just as happy at McDonald's as it is at T-Bone's. Contentment is just as happy at Goodwill as it is at Joe Hirsch or Rosalie's. Contentment is just as happy. Hear it, Pearson, hear it, hear it. Tape it. Put this in your mind. Contentment is just as happy with a Ford as it is with a Cadillac. Amen. And if you can ever, ever in your life, someday, by prayer and Bible study and walking with God, you can ever be happy with a Ford, you have reached the peak of contentment. Contentment would just as soon live in an apartment as in a house. Contentment had just as soon walk on linoleum as on carpet. Contentment had just as soon have an open window as an air conditioner. Contentment had just as soon have ground beef as sirloin strip or fillet mignon or cheddar brand. Oh, I know. I know. You say, yeah, preacher, not easy for you to say that. Yeah, church has a nice house for you. Swimming pool out in the backyard Russell Anderson gave you. Yeah, but never have been in the swimming pool. Never have. And the truth is, I was content. We lived in a little shack of a house out in the country the bedroom was so weak, the joists were so weak in the bedroom, two people couldn't walk across the floor at the same time. Had a rat out on the back porch about that long. Never could kill him. Tried a rat trap, and he thought it was a Christmas toy we gave him. Tried rat poisoning. He ate it with delight, and you ate it and grew on it. And out in the back porch, I'd mow the yard, and every time I'd mow the yard, I'd kill a couple of rattlesnakes out in the front yard of the parsonage. Oh, you say, how did you take it? How'd I take it? Nothing. I just as say it then as I am now. Bible's just as true then as it was now. And I'm not going to live my life circumstances determine my joy, my happiness, or my pleasure. I want to tell you something. Some of you little wives of college students now, you don't know it, but you sit in that little attic apartment and complain, and you don't know this, but when you get 55 or 60 or 65 years of age, you're going to look back and you're going to say, those are the happiest days we ever spent in our lives. You're going to say it. And the tragedy is, you don't even realize it now. Nobody's ever been made happy by a pretty house. Nobody's ever been made happy by money in the bank. Nobody's ever been made happy by... I always wanted one of those cars, everything on it. Everything on it. I started off with a 41 Dodge, called it Jezebel because it wouldn't run half the time. I started off with Jezebel, 1941 Dodge. And then I got a little new Plymouth, cutest little thing you ever saw in your life. Then I got a little, got a Dodge first, and then a little blue Plymouth, and then a little yellow Plymouth, cutest thing I ever saw. Went by a agency one time, that little Plymouth winked at me as I went by. You've had some of that done, haven't you? And flirted with me and said, would you marry me? And I said, you got yourself a deal, baby. Went back and paid and got married to that little thing and had a 3-year honeymoon on a trip, 36 trips to the bank. But a long someday to have a car, you'd push a button and the windows would just scoot up. And you push a button and it'd lock the doors and had air conditioning and it wouldn't even have steering wheels. You could carry with you across the car, you know, go like this. Oh, I longed to have one. And boy, I kept on and kept on. Finally, went out here one day on Highway 41 out in Cedar Lake, that Oldsmobile house out there. Man, I bought me one of those things. You never saw so much stuff in your life. And you know, not a thing worked on that car. Not a thing worked on. I mean, the air wouldn't work. Air conditioning was hot. And the windows wouldn't shut. And the locks wouldn't lock. And everything went wrong with that thing. And I went down and got me a little Cutlass instead of that. And listen, I'll tell you something. That's all highly exaggerated. You know, I know what I'm talking about. I saw a woman go 12 years without a new dress. I saw that same woman live in a little house where she had to chop the wood herself for the wood stove. feed the appetite of that hungry stove. I saw that woman use the number 2 tub for bathing, and then to put ice in after you wrap the ice with an old quilt or newspaper. I saw that woman walk 2 miles before sunup to work every morning. I saw her walk 2 miles back every evening from work after working in a hot kitchen of a public school lunchroom all day. I saw that little woman have every tooth in her head turn as black as coal. I mean that, as black as charcoal. When she'd smile, she looked like she had little hunks of charcoal in her head. I saw that woman chase a snake out of the house one day that came up through the floor. I saw that woman never own a new piece of furniture in all the years I was growing up. I saw her put cardboard in her shoes before she'd go to work in the morning to keep her feet from making contact with the ground. I saw her feed that wood stove. I saw her curl her hair with old curlers that she'd put in the lamp. I saw her iron with a flat iron that got hot on the top of a wood stove. I never heard her in the 18 years I lived in that, in 18 years I lived 18 different houses, 18 different apartments and houses. I never one time heard the words, I'm tired. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? I know, I've been there. There is a way. God's people can be content. Never heard her one time say, I'm tired. I've seen her put me to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because there was no wood to chop and no wood for the wood stove. I've seen that little place get so cold and windows broken and she'd put the paper, newspaper, in the windows. I've seen many a cardboard box be used for a window to our house. I never heard her say one time, I'm cold. Seen her walk 2 miles to school and work all day and walk 2 miles home and then open a can of something for supper, and clean a little old shack of a house. But I never one time heard her say, I'm weary. Not one time. Not once. Why, do you know, she seemed so happy, I didn't even know we were poor until we weren't poor. Never dawned on me. I didn't know we were poor. She'd open a can of Popeye's spinach. I'd look at old Popeye pair of that big old muscle. That's where I got it. Spinach, brother, it'll work every time. And I thought that was a big meal. I didn't know folks across the street were having three or four different type food at the same meal. I was 14 years old before I found anybody had more than one thing to eat at a time. We'd open a can of pork and beans. I didn't know we were poor. Just eat the pork and beans. Earlene always got the pork. Mother always favored Earlene over me. And she always got the piece of pork and the beans. I thought everybody just had a can of pork and beans. I thought that'd live enough. Open a can of Campbell's soup. Eat a can of Campbell's soup. I thought everybody just had a can of Campbell's soup. I'll never forget the first time I ate in the house where they had more than one food to eat in the same meal. I didn't know. I thought a can of Franco-American spaghetti was all necessary for one meal. I didn't know. You say, why? Because I lived the little lady who had laid two little girls, their first two children, neath the sod. Who had sat for 7 years beside a little bed when her child was afflicted and couldn't walk or talk. I lived for 18 years. I never heard a complaint. I never heard any griping. I never heard it's too hot in the summertime. My air conditioner was a broken window. I never heard it was too cold in the wintertime as the winds that blast through that window and howl through that roof and the rain that come down through our ceiling. I never heard her say it's cold. I never heard her say it's damp. I never listened to that. Never heard that kind of stuff. Never have. I want to say something, folks. I want to say something. I would rather live in that little two-room shack on Ann Arbor Street where we spent some of our lives and where there was an outhouse in the backyard and where there was an old well in the backyard and we drank from the dipper. From a bucket, water from a bucket, from a dipper. Everybody drank out of the same thing. And we took a bath, number two tub. Daddy would take the first bath. Same water. See, we'd get the water out of the well and we'd put it on top of the wood stove and heat the water and put it in the number two tub, then pour enough cold water in it to make it just right. And Daddy would drink bath. And my daddy was big. You never saw a dirtier man in your life than my daddy. And Daddy'd get through and Mama'd bathe. Same water, same tub. Mama would get through and Earlene would bathe. You can imagine how it was when she got through. And then, I've stood there many times, the towel tied around me. Towel, nothing, old rag. Tied around me, looking at water, and wondering if I'd be cleaner or dirtier when I got through. Indulging in the bath. I'd rather go back to those days. Sometimes, because it gets so weary of us, we get upset. Air conditioner's broken. Window's stuck, we can't open it. And the humidity's so bad, my hair's falling. I guess I must have been living in an awful humid area all these years. My hair's falling. Honey, it's so sticky, his makeup must be gooey on the face. Tell you what. Sometimes I think it'd be good for us to go back to the old days. We never heard complaining back in those days. Sometimes I think it'd be good for us to go back to the old wood stove. Remember how hot they'd get on the side? I was always afraid that thing would melt. And how hot on the side. I can recall now getting in front of that thing, my front would melt and my back would freeze. Turn around like that, my back would melt and my front would freeze. Mama'd say, son, bank the stove. And I'd bank the stove at night. That meant you're supposed to close the grate and close the damper on the stove pipe and didn't let no air get to the fire. It would simmer through the night. Pull covers up over our head. Next morning, Mama'd say, son, go unbank the stove. We had a linoleum floor. You've never seen ice as cold as a linoleum floor in the wintertime. Unbank the stove. I never heard anybody say, we don't have it very good. I never heard my mama say, I just think I'll turn back and go back. I never heard mama say that. I didn't know that kind of language till we got an affluent society. Now she grabs all the time now. I never heard that kind of talk. I never did. You know why? Because somebody in the old days had learned to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But you say with the house, if I just had... No, you wouldn't be happy if you had. You say, if I just had again. And if I just had, and you get. And if I just had, and you get. And if I just had, and you get. And then, listen, no, you won't be happy. You'll always want the next thing you don't have. Until you get it all, and then you'll commit suicide. Or be miserable the rest of your life. Listen to me. Last night, the deacons and I met at the college. We walked through those dormitories. I'm always amazed. Little old room about the size of half this choir and 6 kids live in the thing. See that complaining right there? Not content. Those little girls out there. Little old telephone booth they share with 3 others. And so in all the colleges, of course. But you know what? This tragic thing is, probably you'll hear less complaining out there than you will in the private bedrooms of the students that drive to college every day. You know why? Because they've acquired, many of them, the greatest possession you'll ever acquire apart from your salvation. And that is contentment. Contentment. Well, the word contentment means in the Greek, it comes from 2 words. One means sufficient and the other means self. Here's what it means. What I have myself is sufficient for me. It's sufficient for me. I've lived in a lovely home where we live now. Beautiful home. And I've lived in one-room shacks. I've lived where my mother and daddy slept in one bed. My sister slept on that over there on that sofa, and I slept on the floor. She always got the best of everything. I hate her and will as long as she lives. On the corner of Hudspeth and Harlandale Street, we had one room. It cooked in that corner. Mom and Dad slept over here. Or lean over here on the sofa, and I slept on the floor. I really don't see much difference. I really don't. I've seen Mama take a piece of bologna and put it between 2 pieces of bread. And we thought we had wealth. And I've also eaten $15 steaks at big, plush restaurants. I'll be honest. I can't see much difference. I'll be honest. To this day, you just won't beat a good old thick piece of bologna between 2 pieces of bread that just got delivered from the bakery. The kind where you can wad it up real tight. Smells so good. You can't beat that. You still can't beat a pot of beans with some fresh onions. And some old-fashioned cornbread, crumpled up in buttermilk. You still can't beat that. That's preaching, ain't it? You still can't beat that. Oh, you know what you ought to do this morning? You ought to just go outside and look up and say, God, sunshine up there, the richest man in the world can't buy it any brighter unless he moves south. Yeah. You ought to look at the get up some morning and see the sunrise. Find out the sun comes up gradually. Look at it. Watch it. Look at it and say, Mr. Rockefeller can't afford a better sunset than that. Walk out and listen to the birds sing. And say they sing just as well for me as they do for the Carnegies. Yeah. Look up at night and see the stars and say they shine just as brightly for me. And the Kennedy family can't afford any better stars than that. Walk out and see the beautiful flowers. I took a long walk beside the river, Charleston, West Virginia last Tuesday morning, bright and early. And I got to thinking, boy, nobody can have a prettier scene than that. No care how rich he is. God's been so good to me. I've learned in whatever state I am, there to be content. Don't spend your life and then look back someday and say, would God I had been content. Would God I had been content. Father, bless the message.